Good morning, church. If you don't know me, my name is Austin. If I look familiar, hi Lance. If I look familiar, it might be because I have kind of a generic face. It might also be because I've been working with Lynn in a process of being considered for eldership here. Myself and Marlon Eckhoff over on the east side of the room, and I've had the opportunity over the last few years to get to know a lot of you, even before this eldership process began, and over the last few months gotten to know some of you even a little bit more closely, and I've really appreciated that opportunity. Part of what I've been working with Mr. Browning on, my wife hates it when I call him Browning, is sharing the word, sharing the gospel with you guys. And I've been invited and given the privilege to do that today, which I'm extremely thankful for. And as you know, we have been working through a series about the health of the church. What does it take to make a church that is healthy? What is God doing in a church that shows its health and that it is growing and that the church is what it's supposed to be? Today, we're working out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'm going to start by reading that. We've heard it several times over the last few weeks. I don't think we can hear the word too often, so I'm going to read it again. This is out of the ESV. Your Bible might be a little different. Acts 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This verse is considered a really core doctrinal guideline for what the church should look like, what the early church looked like. And I'm going to be talking today about fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. When Len asked me to talk about fellowship, I was really excited. Because as my wife will tell you, usually with her eyes rolled three quarters of the way back way into her head, I'm a bit of an extrovert. I like people. My wife tells a horror story of going into Walmart with me, and I ran into somebody and I sat and I talked with them for about 15 minutes and we shared stories about our lives and what we're doing and where we've been and where we're going. And we walk away and Amory looks at me and says, "Who is that?" I don't know. I never got the dude's name. Fellowship isn't just about shaking hands and kissing babies, though. It is a really core function of the church. And I think that it's something that sometimes the modern church misses the mark on. I think we can make the mistake of treating fellowship as a byproduct or an accident. Len, last week, gave us a really good definition of the word devotion out of Acts 2:42. The word used here is proskartereo, probably not pronouncing it correctly. And Len's definition was to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing. That's a really good definition. I want to give us a little bit of a more practical but impractical standpoint to look at that from today. Angela has a video that we're going to watch about 20 seconds of, but I want to ask you a question first. How seriously do you take hot dogs? How seriously do you take a hot dog? A beef frank? Not very seriously? Anybody ever taken one serious? I see one hand in the back. Yes, sometimes it's serious. I want us to look at a video of some people who take hot dogs really seriously.
Is it over? Is Pat Bertoletti going to be our champion?
Well, is he going to break his own personal best of 55? These are this 54 with 39 seconds left. Teddy Roosevelt would be proud today. At this moment, Pat Bertoletti is the man in the arena. No victory without struggle. Fulfilling his promise as a citizen and about to be named Nathan's champion.
I think that's enough. Some people are going to go eat lunch after this. I bet nobody's having hot dogs. I don't know about you, but I don't take hot dogs very seriously. Not that serious. I might eat a hot dog by accident. And what I mean by that is not that I'm going to trip and like, oh, there's mustard on my face now. If I'm going to a barbecue or an event for somebody and they're serving hot dogs, I might eat one. Sure. But I'm not going to drive to Steamboat because, you know, there's a place over there that's got the best hot dog. Hot dogs for me are something that I could take them or leave them. It's just kind of a byproduct of where I happen to be at the moment. If I'm at a cookout, we can't call it a barbecue, if there's anybody here from Texas. If we're at a cookout and you're cooking hot dogs on the grill, great, maybe I'll have one. I prefer a hamburger. These guys take hot dogs very seriously. Did anybody notice the logo in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen? That was ESPN coverage. If you watch the whole 10-minute video, which I don't recommend, they start the video off by talking about how are the conditions today? How's the weather? And how is that going to impact this event? And how many hot dogs these dudes are going to be able to mow down? This is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship that occurs every year on July 4th. The person who won it has been second or third place for years and years and years, and this is the first year that he won the competition. And he talked about practicing for 3 months so that on July 4th, 2024, he could eat 58 hot dogs with the buns and win this award. I will never take hot dogs that seriously. Very few people do. Church, we as a body need to make sure we're not treating fellowship like hot dogs. I could care less about hot dogs. Fellowship is vital to who we are as a church, though. Acts 2:42 tells us that they devoted themselves, they being the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. There's no reason to believe that this word devoted applies only to the teaching and not to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Fellowship was one of the pillars of the early church. It's one of the things that made the early church different in these cultures. These people were gathering together, sharing with one another. If you keep reading in Acts, you'll read all about that. But this wasn't something that just happened. It was not an accident. They were devoted to fellowship. Are we as devoted to one another, to loving one another, as that dude is about hot dogs? I hope that we are. I think that we should be in order to be a healthy church. This thing we call fellowship, it's really easy to look at fellowship and kind of treat it as a byproduct of us gathering on Sunday mornings. What happens between Lance's first and second song? We let the kids out. We do this greeting time, right? Everybody stand and greet your neighbors. It's before announcements, I think, isn't it? Before announcements, we stand and greet our neighbors. Do we take that seriously? Some of us do. It's a really important part of what we're doing here. It's not just a byproduct of the fact that we all happen to be in the same room on a Sunday morning that we talk to one another. It's part of why we're here. We are a body. A body needs to communicate. You gather here on Sunday mornings, yes, to hear the word. My brother Clint did a great job this morning in Sunday school teaching us about Job. That is such a valuable and important thing. You know what else happened in that room? We prayed for each other. We roasted each other a little bit. We spent time together. We got to know one another. That is an important part of why we gather here. It's not a byproduct. It's a purpose. It's not an accident. We need to make sure that we're doing that on Sunday mornings, that we are blessed, intentionally gathering. Fellowship was vital to the early church, and it's vital to the church today. And this word, proskartereo, shows how devoted the early church was to fellowship. But what is it? What are we talking about here? We have kind of a modern definition of fellowship, and we think of it as the chatting that we do out in the foyer. Is it foyer or foyer? I'm saying foyer. And in some ways, we're really good at this, church, because sometimes we're out there so long that Len has to go flicker the lights like you do with teenagers in the driveway to get them to come inside. Those who are doing announcements, I lost Andrew, there he is, they've all talked about how they have to get everybody's attention because you're so invested in talking to one another that sometimes Andrew's first two announcements might go, well, 50% heard. And so they all worked on techniques to get your attention because you're so invested in talking with one another and getting to know one another and chatting with one another, and that's a good thing. But is that fellowship? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? The second Greek word I'd like to break down today is koinonia. This is the word in Acts 2:42 that is translated as fellowship. And it is often translated as fellowship. What it means is a participation in community, intimacy, and to share what you have with others. This is a really interesting word because it's also the word that is commonly translated as communion. The Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread in remembrance of Him. The early church didn't just look at fellowship as the happy circumstance of we're gathered together so we're going to chat and tell each other jokes. There is a direct link between communion, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread in remembrance of His name and what He did for us, and fellowship. Why is that? Is it just because the words happen to be the same and we're just translating this fellowship or communion out of pure context? I don't think so. Fellowship and communion are the same thing. There is a holy attribute to fellowship that we miss when we separate it. And we think of fellowship as just hanging out. Fellowship is part of the communion of this body. Your neighbors to either side of you and in front of you and behind you. Getting to know one another, gathering together, sharing what you have with one another. That is a holy function of this church. That's part of what makes us a single body. We are united in Christ. And so as we gather and as we share in that holy communion that is so, so critical, we are united even further. We do that through fellowship, through communion, and both at the same time. We cannot make the mistake of thinking of fellowship as just something that's irreverent or mundane or not special. Every person you talk to today on the way in here is an image bearer for God. Every single one of them. Not only that, but it is an image bearer of God who, as far as we can tell, has probably made the commitment to follow Jesus and given their life to Him. We have a special privilege of getting to know one another here because we're going to spend eternity together there. Why would you wait to start that? That's a holy privilege, a divine privilege that we have to do this here today. Now, We can see evidence of this if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 16 and then I'm going to walk back and give a little context. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He writes, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." That was 10, 16, and I think I read 17 as well. Paul is outlining here how this holy communion of being united in Christ makes us one body. Now, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, you know that Paul didn't have only positive things to say to them about communion. If we go forward and we look at 11, starting in verse 17, "But in the following instructions I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." And here's the part I want to emphasize in verse 20. "When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk." So this practice of communion that we have today, we've got crackers. We've also got gluten-free Body of Christ, if you need it. We have grape juice. That's evolved into a lot of different things in the modern church. Some churches use red wine. Some use grape juice. The early church didn't start with crackers and wine or grape juice. It was a meal that they shared together. And at least in Corinth, they were bringing their own meals. And one person was walking in with a steak dinner, a 12-pack of beer, and they were gorging and feasting and having a really good time. Another person maybe didn't have anything. Does that sound unified to you? Paul had to correct them. He is tying together this concept of what we think of as communion to fellowship. To what we think of as fellowship. To Paul, it didn't make much of a difference. Communion and fellowship were the same thing. This, we think of gathering for a meal, the brown bag lunch for the missions committee, that's gathering for a meal. We might think of that as fellowship. It's also communion, especially in this early church, because they were gathering in Christ's name. So, the practice of the early church was this gathering for a meal, and that's what they called communion. We do it a little bit differently today, but it's the same practice. Fellowship and communion are directly tied together. It's not something that ended when Paul gave this ordinance and we changed the way that we do communion. They're still reflections of the same process that's happening within our body. Being united in Christ and in remembrance of Him is a vital part of what we are doing as a church. I put the word participation in bold because that was the same word, koinonia, in 1 Corinthians 10:16. It can be a little confusing sometimes when our English translators will translate something as fellowship or communion. But looking at the connection between these words, we can really see that there is a powerful and profound connection there. And I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. It's just really important that we drive that home. Fellowship is holy. It's holy in the early church, and it should be holy to us today to have a healthy church. But the purpose of this sermon series isn't just to talk about the early church. It's to talk about our church today. The journey, the building that we're in, and the body that we have joined. So how is our church doing with fellowship? I want to highlight to you, if you're part of the church email list, you probably have the annual report sitting in your email. If you open that up and you scroll down a little ways, you're going to find the fellowship committee report. Did you know we have a fellowship committee? Probably. They're the reason we had a nice Christmas tree, and they're the reason that the Christmas tree is not here now that we're in the end of January. They set it up, they tear it down. If you raise your hand if you had a cup of coffee or tea or any kind of warm beverage or cookie this morning. Everybody with their hand up should be thanking the fellowship committee. If you've had a meal here, if you have gathered here for any reason and put your hand on a surface that was wiped by the rags that Julia Foster washes every week, you have partaken in this ministry of the fellowship committee. This is something that I think generally as a church we're doing well. This fellowship committee is involved, and they might not be in the spotlight on a lot of these events. The women's conference, the fellowship committee, I can tell you, is busting their butt, setting up food, moving tables, making sure everything is ready for the ladies to have a meal. They are connected to so many of the different ministries that we have here at this church, including funerals. If you've heard Len speak up here about funerals and how significant it is that our church is one of the places where families, whether you're a family connected to this church or if you're not connected to this church at all, this is often one of the places where people land for celebration services for their family members. The fellowship committee blesses the people here who come here for those services every time. And that is a profound ministry. The fellowship committee is something that they are dedicated to fellowship. I hope and I wish that we could all take a page out of their book, that we could look at them as an example of how devoted we should be to fellowship. They're always looking for members. In fact, they're looking for somebody to lead that committee up. If you feel any kind of conviction today, maybe reach out. Talk to Stephanie Herod. Is that okay, Stephanie? Yeah? Talk to Ivan. I know Ivan is the elder over the fellowship committee. About being a part of that committee, because it has such a profound impact. And I want to just once again say thank you to those who are serving on that committee. We appreciate you. Thank you. I've actually asked a member of said committee, Teresa Moyer, to come up and share a part of her testimony about how fellowship has changed lives. So she's going to come up and share with us a little bit today. Do I need to turn it on, Nate?
Thank you. Austin, you didn't leave me anything left to say. I am Teresa, and I've been part of the fellowship for a long, long time. It is part of my heart, part of my all of my service. I do want to say that when Austin called me the other day and asked me to do this, that night I was thinking about it, and when I went to sleep, I had a dream about doing this, and I was up front, and I was talking and talking and talking and talking, and finally Pastor Len had to take me off the stage, and it's like, well, I think God was telling me what not to say. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That is so important, mostly more every day than it was in the past. Fellowship has changed and looks different all the time because our needs have changed and look different all the time. We started out as a small group of women doing crafts and food and just having a little joyous time together to many meals through the church. The power of fellowship is the positive impact that comes from connecting. My knees are shaking. From connecting with others, especially in a faith community. Fellowship can help people feel supported, encouraged, and empowered, which can lead to personal and spiritual growth. I want to share one of the meals we had at one time was we do meals with themes we have in the past. And this one was a sports night. Guess what food we had? We had hot dogs with all the toppings you could choose. Pastor Len was the first one in line, and he really loved that meal. Yeah, he does. I asked a friend, a special friend, and also a committee member, fellowship member, how fellowship at the Journey has impacted her life as a person or her family. Her answer was, "It gives me a connection to others, especially when my kids were little. With how hectic my life is now, it's awesome to serve and to attend fellowship activities. That brings a blessing to me. With serving on the committee, I feel that I have a mentor in the group." We do. We help each other. We teach each other. We learn how to serve and how to care for people that God has put into our lives. And as for myself, I am part. My heart is in funerals, and my servant heart is drawn to families going through grief and loss. I use my hospitality gifts to provide a meal and comfort, which gives me time to visit with family and time for them to visit with their family and friends, not worry about anything. To be able to give a smile to someone that's really hurting is where my heart is. And that's also with the women in our church. We come together and we laugh and we play. And I know God loves our antics. He loves our laughing. He loves our cheer. He loves to see us together and loving one another. And as long as I've been in this church, I have had some kindnesses, gifts and kindnesses on several occasions through my 40-plus years at the Journey. It is a special feeling to have your doorbell ring by someone with a smile and a meal. Oftentimes, just to stop by to pray with you, to go to the hospital and say, "I love you," to bring, to understand that you're hurting. The fellowship committee members all have this heart. If you have a heart to serve in this way, please join us. I have stepped down from the leadership, but I am still part of the fellowship committee. There is a need, as Austin said, to have someone that will just fill that spot. And when Nadine says this needs to be done, or Pastor Len asked for this, there would be a leader to call the fellowship committee together. You wouldn't be alone. We have a strong, loving family in fellowship here. Fellowship in our church does as God tells us in 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from the great His great variety of spiritual gifts. use them well to serve others and glorify God through Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for your faithfulness and provision to us. Thank you for each person here today and the unique talents each have. We want to honor you in our actions, in our words, in our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Teresa touched on many components of fellowship that are active and thriving here at The Journey. I also want to focus in a little bit on us as individuals. Could you raise your hand if you've had a meal in someone's home who's sitting in the room or a part of this Journey family? That is a sign of a healthy church. Almost every hand in the room went up. Thank you. Thank you for loving one another so well. I want to wrap up, if Len will allow me to stick my toe into Acts 2, verse 43, by looking at the impact of fellowship on what it does in a church. I'm going to go ahead and read 42 again as well. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Anybody have King James? What word is in place of awe there in the King James? Anybody got it? Fear. The Greek word is phobos. This is the word where we draw phobia. But the ESV and a little bit over 50% of the translations that I could find in English, and I wasn't going to learn other languages to keep counting, translates this as awe. What does awe mean to us? I think we say the word awesome frequently enough that we've kind of watered down the meaning of this word. Oh yeah, I bought some new shoes yesterday. Awesome. Reverence. I want to give us an example of awe, and I think it's going to fit with exactly what you're saying. Mark chapter 4, verses 40 through 41. I'm going to go back a little further than verse 40 to give you a little bit more context. Jesus was on a boat with his disciples. He was sleeping. I'm going to read starting in verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And here's where things change. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great phobos. ESV has fear. And said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The same word is used to describe the feeling that the disciples had when Jesus stilled the ocean with his words. The same word is used to describe the feeling that people had in the early church. It's not just attributed to fellowship. We know that there's more going on than fellowship, but fellowship is a part of that picture. The devotion to the apostles' teaching and to prayer, and to the breaking of bread and fellowship, inspired awe. Such a powerful feeling that in English we sometimes translate it as fear, because we don't really have a word that has the same weight and power. Can you imagine what it's like to be loved by someone so thoroughly that you feel this way? to be in awe of the love and kindness that somebody has showed you. I imagine that some of the folks at the funerals that we've hosted here at The Journey might feel that way. Maybe not to the same extent as watching Jesus still the great sea, but a glimmer of that, as though perceived through a mirror. That's how significant fellowship is. It's a part of that picture of what the early church was doing that was inspiring awe in the people who visited there. I can tell you that our community needs that right now. I'm not going to go into details, but 2024 was a rough year for this community. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We set a record that we don't want to set again in this community. And I'm happy to talk about with you anytime you want to walk up to me and have that conversation. One of the things that you can do about it right now is to love one another. Have that fellowship. Give people a place where they feel welcome, where they can come and they can talk about the difficult things in their lives. That will inspire awe and hope, which is something that we desperately need. Church, normally I'd like to pray with you right now. Pastor Len has asked to close us in prayer, so I'm going to bring him up. And I'm going to go back to the mic, Len. Is that what you'd like?
Thanks, Austin. Yeah, it's exciting the way Koinonia takes place in our fellowship. And it is awe-inspiring. It's one of the markers of who we are. It's one of the ways that God uses us to draw people to himself. And so I do want to thank you for your participation in our church and the way that you're loving each other. I would remind you that we're establishing an alpha ministry that will kick off in the fall, and we're training leaders who will help us to do that. If that's of interest to you, sign up for that out in the foyer. Vince and Deanna are out there and can give you more information. It's going to begin Thursday night, February 6th. It will be Thursdays, 6 o'clock at the Chamber of Commerce building. We'll have a meal, a video, and discussion, and you'll get an understanding of how this ministry can impact those who are skeptics or really anyone, Christians who want to grow. Anyway, thanks so much for being here. If you stand, I'll close, and we'll get on with our day. Broncos aren't playing today, are they? I understand the Denver Broncos used to play professional football. Let's pray. Father God, thanks so much for your great love for us. Thanks for who you are and those of us who have turn from our sin and ourselves and receive Jesus as our Savior. We thank you for removing the veil from our hearts that could happen. And God, we want that for everyone. Jesus, you came, you said you came to give life, and it might be the best life possible. It might be abundant and full and meaningful. And Lord, we want that for everyone. So use us in that way. Thank you for drawing us together around you, and be glorified in our lives as we go wherever we go. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, have a great day. Thanks so much for being here.